Good morning, everybody. Appreciate those songs Daryl led. Want to welcome everybody that's here today. And I so appreciate the technology that we have available to be able to live stream the message to where we're not going to everybody be here and be arrested and all that stuff. Because I don't think I'd like prison food. I don't know. But I'm looking so forward to when this ban is lifted and we can all worship together. This is definitely an alternative, and we are together at least in spirit, but it will be nice when we can all worship together physically and blow the roof off of this place with our singing and the whole bit. Either that or we could go, I guess, like Lowe's and stuff, they're immune to the virus. Maybe we can meet in the lumber section at Lowe's and be safe, or the produce section at Walmart. Or I was talking with Preston, maybe we could just change the name South Valley Church of Christ and Hardware Store, and the virus won't get us then. But anyway, I'm glad that everybody's either watching the live stream or that are here. A few weeks ago, we talked about we had a lesson on God's love. And that is such an easy lesson to deliver. Then the very next week, we wanted to make sure we didn't forget the wrath of God. That there is wrath and that He is going to punish sin. Last week, we started kind of the whole thing is a series, but started looking at the remedy to try to avoid the wrath of God. Amen. And last week we looked at, in part of our series of salvation, we looked at you've got to hear the word of God. Nobody has ever been saved in the Bible apart from hearing the word of God. And once you've been exposed to the word of God, we have the option, we have the choice to believe it or not. Amen. And we have to not only believe the Word, we have to believe that there is a God, and that we have to believe that God's Son, Jesus, is the Savior, and that He was the sacrifice for our sins. The next logical step, that if you believe in God and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're going to repent of your sins. If you've heard the Word of God, you're going to see that is one of the things that God and Jesus wants us to do. Amen. Is repent of sins. Because hearing the Word of God and a mental belief, a mental acceptance of God, and staying doing the same old lifestyle, that does no good at all. Amen. It should change you. Jesus addressed this issue. It was part of the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. When he was talking to the people that were listening to him in Matthew 7, he makes the statement, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." These people that are calling on him, Lord, Lord, they believe. He is talking to people that believe in him. He goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, again, acknowledging him as who he is. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, these people that acknowledge me as the Son of God, these people that have even done actions and works in his name, he's going to respond to them, and he says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is a lifestyle. It doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble. Jesus wants, and God wants, people to repent of their sinful ways before they're baptized, after they've heard the word of God. But for us that are Christians, that to change our ways, these are people that believe in him. And he's saying, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. You live in it. You've heard the word of God. You believe it, but you didn't change. You didn't do anything to change your lifestyle to be accepted by God. Paul deals with this in his letter to the Romans. And Romans 12:2, Paul writes, "And do not be conformed to this world." We've used this scripture in quite a few different lessons. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." There's the repentance. There's the repentance coming in. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." By being transformed, that's the repentance. And you do it not only by the things you do and not do, but by the renewing of your mind. There's a lot of people that are locked up in jail that are not capable of continuing to steal, but the mindset is still there. That if they had the opportunity, they would still do it. There's a lot of crime that is not committed because they're not capable of it. If you just look the other way long enough, I will then do it. Just because they didn't do it doesn't mean they're not trying. And Paul is saying one of the things, in addition to the actions that we do, we renew our mind. We're thinking different. We're looking out of different eyes now. And that's important. And that's repentance. Jesus dealt with this. These are the words of Jesus. I always say, if you don't like it, take it up with him. Don't come to me griping about something. Take it up with Jesus. And the good thing is we will all get to someday. Jesus told his followers, he says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he says the exact same thing two verses later in verse 5. He repeats himself. Just if you missed it the first time, I'll tell you again in verse 5. But Jesus himself says that repentance is necessary to avoid perishing for salvation. In Acts 2:38, we see, we all know this, we know it almost by heart. But in the great sermon that was delivered on the day of Pentecost, Peter is delivering the message, Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah that we have been longing for generations. And you killed him. You killed the Messiah. And in verse 37, they had heard the word of God. They obviously believe the word of God. They were Jews. Earlier in the chapter, it talks about how they were devout men. They believed, but they were pricked in the heart. And in verse 37, it says, "And when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and they cried out, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" They realized the error of their ways. The remedy was simple. Peter says, repent. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, we understand that sin is sin is sin. It separates us from God. Was Isaiah 59:2, "Our iniquities separate us from God." Sin is sin. I don't want to give the impression that some sins are worse than others. Some sins have different consequences. You know, some sins, the aftermath follows us sometimes more. I've done things wrong that was wrong in God's eyes, but I wasn't at the crucifixion of Jesus yelling, "Crucify him," like these people were. There was a remedy for that. The remedy was you repent. Don't do it anymore. Have a change of your ways, a change of your heart. Repent and be baptized. And that was the remedy for that heinous action that people were responsible for with the crucifixion of Jesus. In Acts 17:30, it's written, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." I'm glad God overlooked ignorance, because I know he overlooked and was patient with some of my ignorance for a while. And I'm not unique. It was that way with everybody. And God overlooked times of ignorance, but now calls on all men everywhere. And it says, not calls, commands all men everywhere to repent. Change what you're doing. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter was somebody that understood repentance. He had denied early in life, he had denied even knowing Jesus. This was one of his closest friends, probably his closest friend, and he denied even knowing him. And so Peter understands repentance. But now that he is an older, I love reading the book of 1 and 2 Peter. I love seeing Peter later on in Acts. The Peter in Acts and in 1 and 2 Peter is a different man than was in the Gospels. Amen. You know, he matured. He spiritually matured. And here, the elder Peter, the older, the man that was an elder, would be able to say, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Peter was glad that God was long-suffering with him. Amen. He was glad that Jesus was long-suffering with him. And now he's telling others that God is long-suffering, but don't wait too long. He wants us to come to repentance, that all, not some, all should come to repentance. In Matthew 3, verse 8, Jesus says, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." Make sure, and you know, in Galatians, Paul tells us that, you know, that our fruits are evident, that it's obvious. You know, you look at a fruit tree, you look at a lemon tree, you're not going to see apples. You know, it's obvious. You look at an orange tree, you're not going to see watermelons on it. You know, let your actions be obvious. Let your fruits, you bear fruits worthy of repentance, Jesus says, that it will be obvious, that people can look at you and see a change. And that's what Jesus is saying. In 2 Corinthians, this was our scripture reading, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He says, "Now I rejoice that you were made sorry." I'm glad. Not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. I'm not happy that you're down in the dumps sorry. I'm glad that you're sorry because it led to repentance. Mm-hmm. "For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." This is a concept that even little kids understand. You know, the children of our congregation understand this concept, the difference of being sorry that you were caught and being sorry that you understand that what you did was wrong. The difference of saying, "Mommy, I'm sorry," and going right on and doing exactly what you'd been doing, or, "Mommy, I'm sorry, I won't do that again." And it's no difference. There's no difference for us. And the Apostle Paul is talking about that difference. Our prisons are full of people that were sorry they got caught. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry they got that I was caught stealing things from people. I'm sorry that I'm having to spend time in here for selling drugs. I'm sorry for having some of them, I'm sure, repent. There are plenty of stories of people seeing the error of their ways. But a lot of them, they're just, you know, if they get out, they're going to go right back doing the same old stuff. Paul says, "I'm glad that you Corinthians, I'm not glad that you were made sorry, but I'm glad that your sorrow led to repentance," which led to salvation. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent therefore and be converted." Again, a change, a transformation. Just like in Romans 12. You know, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Repent and therefore be converted. Conversion is a change. "That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." In Acts 26:20, at the tail end, it says that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Again, letting the things you do, the fruits that you bear, be obvious that you've repented. Amen. Because there, you know, if what good is being exposed to the Word of God, believing that there's a God, believing that there's a Savior that sacrificed Himself for us, but just continuing on with the same old road that you've been on? What good is that? There, it is no good. Mm-hmm. And we'll end up with Revelation 2, verse 5. In the letter to the seven churches in Asia, Jesus was addressing each of those individual congregations. John recorded this in the first century. It is no different for us as a congregation or as an individual today. He happened to write these words to the church that was in Ephesus. But it applies to the church at South Valley. It applies to Daryl. It applies to Bruce individually also. And he says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. And do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." They had fallen from what they had should been doing. They had fallen. And if they don't repent, it's going to be dealt with in a harsh way. They have that opportunity and a command to repent. They had it as a congregation. We have it as a congregation. We have that remedy for falling in God's word, the same as the church at Ephesus did. We're going to end with that same call that they had, the call to repent. It's obvious, as Jesus said in Luke 13:5, basically, repent or perish. Mm-hmm. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you need to repent of sin, if you need prayers of the congregation, if there is anything we can do for you at this time, please come forward, let your needs be known, and we will address those as we stand and sing.